Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this. Hello, busy mamas. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I have a really fun guest for you today who I'm excited to chat with. Her name is Stacy Rowan, and I'm just going to read a little bit from her bio and then tell you guys a little bit about how I know this wonderful woman. So, believing everyone deserves a life they love, Stacy founded Custom Built Life, a personal coach and speaker. Stacy empowers overwhelmed, unhappy women who often have full but not always fulfilling lives to stop following the rules that aren't working for them. Stacy guides them in designing their life balance blueprint, along with creating a new set of rules that will support them as they reclaim the joy of a customized life. And we're going to share how you can get an amazing free ebook she has for you at the end of this episode. And I met Stacy in a business coaching program that we both invested in, and she is a just beacon of light, and you can just tell that she really walks her talk. So I'm so excited to welcome her to the show. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Mia. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, good. Well, let's dive in a little bit. So let's just start by sharing a little bit of your background and how you got to here. So just sort of starting with, I don't know, wherever you want to start, but just sharing that part about, you know, where you started off and where you got stuck and how that kind of led you here.
Yeah. So I started out life as a good girl. You know, I was the baby of the family and definitely people pleaser. And, you know, I was really good at following the rules. I liked to stay out of trouble. I liked to make my teachers and my parents happy. And so, you know, as people gave me kind of my life rules, I followed along with them. So I, you know, always did well in school and, you know, I went to a good college and I got a career where I could support myself. And, you know, I was making decent money. So I was able to pay for my own apartment and car. And what happened was, as I got in the corporate world, I thought, well, you know, surely I should be happy now because I followed all these rules and people said you do these things and then poof, happiness. And it didn't really work out that way for me. I found I wasn't really suited for the corporate world. And, but because of who I was, I really said like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Like, why didn't these rules work? And I didn't understand. But my background, my college background was in engineering, and engineers are known for solving problems. That's what we do. And thinking through it very analytically and, you know, what's the root of this and how can I fix this? So I did. I started to dig in at, you know, what's going on.
Did you have kids at this point?
At this point, I didn't. I was married to my wonderful husband. And part of what was really disturbing to me was that, you know, my husband and I, we have a great relationship and I love him so much, but I would come home from work and I'd really need to unwind for kind of like an hour until I interacted with him. And, you know, Friday nights I would unwind, but then Sunday I would wind back up. So we felt like we had Saturday together.
Yeah.
And I had actually met him at our first job. We worked at the same place together. And I used to joke with him and say, oh, we should have never gotten married because I spent so much more time with you and I had like kind of more quality time when we were coworkers instead of, you know, because of the tension of being unhappy in my career. And so I finally, you know, I worked with my own coach and I did a lot of reading and I finally realized like, there's not one set of rules that works for everybody. And it's not that anyone was intentionally trying to misguide me, but you know, we're individuals. Of course, the life rules of, you know, what we should be doing is different. And so that was kind of really the start of what got me into this was my own journey. And I know there's a lot of people out there who feel like me, who feel like, oh my gosh, I've done everything right. And now I'm at this point in my life where I really expected happiness and, you know, certain things and my life to look a certain way. And why doesn't it look that way? You know, what's wrong with me? And I just don't think there's anything wrong with people. I think they just don't know, like, hey, you can make your own rules.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about when you first did that. So what was your first, like, what was your first big thing that you did that might not have looked how you thought it was going to look?
Well, I guess the first big thing was when we decided to start a family, I had twins. And so I joke with my daughters who just turned 17 yesterday, which is just hard to believe. I always knew I wanted two children. I didn't know I was going to get a buy one, get one free sale. Which they think is funny, and they both want to be the free child. I don't know why that is. But
that's funny.
So when the children came along, and in the beginning, they were, because they were twins, they were preemies. So there was all these doctor's appointments and things to make sure that they were healthy, which thankfully they were. It just didn't make a lot of sense for me to go back to work. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, I really had thought I would be a working mom. You know, I had a degree in engineering, and it, you know, that was just my expectation. But as Dave, my husband, and I talked, we realized that just wasn't the best choice for our family for a number of reasons. And so I stayed home. So that was kind of the first rule that I broke. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then it just, each one got a little bit easier.
And did that take a minute to ease into? I mean, that seems like a big thing to come down from. So was that a happy thing right from the get-go, or did it take a minute to find your happiness in that?
I loved being home with them and, you know, getting to take care of them. I was happy to leave my job because I wasn't happy in my job.
Yep.
And the first year, honestly, was like, it was all about taking care of babies.
Right. Survival. Pure survival.
You have babies, so you know what that's like. It was like, you feed them, you change them. If they're sleeping, you sleep. And that was kind of my life for the first year.
Yeah.
It was really once they reached their first birthday and I started getting little snippets of time, like 10 or 15 minutes, that I started to realize, like, okay, I want to stay home with my children, but I need something for myself too.
Yeah.
And, you know, being home and being surrounded by babies all day and not having a lot of adult interaction, that was the hard part to adjust was, okay, I'm talking to, say, two-year-olds all day.
Yes, exactly.
They're not having logical, analytical conversations, I can tell you.
And so I feel like there's a lot of, I don't, you know, so my guys now are guys and girls are 7, 10, and 12. Mm-hmm. And you really start to hear in the 10-year-old age moms who haven't found something else yet and left something bigger.
Yeah.
That frustration really starts to come up, right? Because at that point, I think it starts to feel like sacrifice for a lot of people. And not to say at all that everybody has to go back and work. I think sometimes it's just finding your stride within their school, or, you know, volunteering somewhere else, or reading the right books, or whatever it is. But just finding that part of you within this whole system. And it's interesting because that maps very much to being able to also eat well.
Right. So
that's very, very. And so what did you do? What did you find when they were two?
Well,
is that when you jumped into coaching?
No, actually, surprisingly, no. So I had these little snippets of time and I was like, okay, I wanted to do something. I feel like I was doing something just for me because it was so, you know, it was so much having twins. I felt like, okay, if I have 15 minutes and I can do something for myself. And thankfully I have the most supportive husband in the world. So he encouraged me.
Love that.
I actually started in fine art. I started learning to draw and reading. Like, honestly, the first year, I think all I did was read about art. So I was trying to make myself feel like I was doing something for myself. So I actually marked down how many hours I was spending on art. And most of it was reading. And that first year, in a whole year, I did 75 hours. So, you know, we know people who work 75 hours a week. I did it in a year. So
Got
I
it.
really had just little snippets of time.
Yeah.
It helped me feel like I was doing something for myself, which at that point in my as I, thanks to the internet, there was a wealth of things that I could do from home and classes I could take and all. And I actually grew that into a fine art business where I began selling watercolor paintings and charcoal drawings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I did that for a while. But as I was doing this and as I was creating this life that was working for me and for my family, you know, I started having more conversations about it. And people started coming to me and asking me, you know, what are you doing? How are you doing this? Like, how'd you become an artist? Weren't you an engineer? And all these questions. And it naturally evolved into coaching. And as the girls got older and I got more time and more people would just naturally reach out to me. And Dave and I started a local mastermind group where we worked with some other business owners to all grow a business. And that was after doing that, you know, he said, really, why are you not doing this as a business? You should be coaching people. People are drawn to you anyway. Yeah. And so it was probably almost three to four years ago that I started, we started Custom Built Life together. And I remember telling my mom, you know, like, oh, mom, I'm, you know, we're creating this business and I'm going to be coaching people. And what she said is, oh, good, now you can stop coaching me.
I love that.
So to me, that just means it's something natural I've done my whole life, you know, that I was coaching my own mother. And I said, oh, unfortunately, that's not the way it works, mom. But thanks.
So you say something a lot. You always say that you've said it a few times just in the moments we've been talking about how it was right for your family, how something was right for your family. Will you dive into that a lot? Because I don't think that that knowledge is a gift that we all have. And I feel like I know you, so I know how clear you are, both with yourself and with those in your family. And it was interesting because when we even arranged this podcast, you're in the middle of your girls' lacrosse season. And you were so clear about like the time you have and the time you're spending with that. So will you just die? Is that just something that's always been a part of you? What does that look like in your family? Like, how do you get clear? I feel like even if you're a clear person, probably within a family, you have to have some practices so that everybody's on the same page. But what does that look like in your life?
Yeah. So the first thing is, and whenever I'm working with clients, you know, the first thing we do, we call it our life balance blueprint, but it's really a vision for your life of how you want life to be in like all areas of your life. So it's, you know, how you spend your time. So career and hobbies and passions, it's relationships, you know, so including family and friends, it's health, spirituality, money, you know, anything that you can think of that's part of your life. And for me, the first step is always that clarity because, you know, that you need that vision and that clarity to move forward. So Dave and I both came from close families. We knew it was very important for us to have, a close family to be involved in our children's lives. And, you know, the thing is like having a vision when they're two is not the same as when they're 17. Yeah. It's something that we often renegotiate. Or, you know, we'll sit down and have a family conversation. So at busier times of our life, like when we're in lacrosse season, you know, we talk about how are we going to balance these things? And, you know, maybe this time of year, certain things slide that don't normally, but other things remain important. So for instance, food, you know, it would be really easy this time of year to just let our diet kind of slide into, you know, not as healthy as we normally are. But for me, that's a real priority. You know, my top two priorities are definitely family and health, because if you're not healthy, everything else is so difficult. So yeah. Even though it's a challenge to get healthy meals on the table this time of year, you know, you may come in April and find my kitchen looks a disaster and I have dirty dishes in the sink, you know, and it looks worse than it would say in July, but we're still managing to eat healthy. So, it's really having that clarity of what's important and what the priorities are and the flexibility to realize that every time of the year is not the same.
And the whole lacrosse thing, is that, was that the girl, was that your girl's driven, and then you and you and Dave's priority is sort of to parent that? Like, how did that come up? Because it's so
They,
wonderful how you put like how you both are so involved in that.
yeah, it was funny. Our one daughter, she wanted to try it in, I think it was fourth or fifth grade, and they had been playing soccer, and she said, "Oh, I want to give this a try." And so she started, and they had a very small team, and they didn't have any subs on the field. And so we kind of twisted her twin sister's arm and said, "Look, you're coming to the games anyway, because Dad and I want to come watch, and you're too little to stay home alone. Like, why not play? It's better than sitting on the sidelines." And so we kind of coerced her a little, but they really fell in love with the sport. And one of the things for our family is that through middle school, up until about eighth grade, we really limited the amount of activities and the amount of time our kids spent in activities, because we felt it was really important for them to have free time and creative time and unstructured, outside of homework and school and activities. But in about eighth grade, and this is back to that renegotiating what's right for you, we felt like, okay, they were getting to an age where they needed to learn to manage their own time and see what their own limits are, which could be very different than my limits or Dave's limits. So, eighth grade, we called it, because they wanted to be very active, we called it the year we were calling their bluff. And so we just let them say yes to anything they wanted. And it was so hysterical because we didn't call their bluff at all. They have a much higher tolerance for being involved than we do. So it totally backfired. Dave and I were like, man.
Oh my gosh.
But it's important for them to learn their limits. And
Yeah.
really, it wasn't until high school, last year and this year, where they've gotten into some more challenging courses, where they've really had to be managing, okay, what can I commit to and how much can I take on? But had we never in eighth grade, quote unquote, called their bluff, which was a joke, they wouldn't have been able to establish that for themselves. And particularly as they near going to college, that's important.
Yeah.
And we wanted them to find their limits in a safe environment where we were here to help them with that. And as far as our involvement in the lacrosse, because Dave and I are very involved in the program for their team, it's we just love watching them, and they have a great team, and we love the kids on the team and the parents of those kids. And so for us, it's social, and it's just fun to be involved and know what's going on. So we've just kind of every year put in a little bit more time and volunteered a little bit more to support them. And now that they're nearing when they'll go to college, we're feeling the urgency to stay involved, because when they go to college, we know it'll be a whole different phase and a lot more time for ourselves, and they'll be off doing their own thing.
I love that. And I have to tell you, I haven't even gotten to my first plan question yet, because you keep giving such good good little wisdom nuggets to keep going from. Because so another thing that you just said totally caught my ear. So I very purposely put my kids into a school where I knew the values. So it wasn't a public school, and which I think your kids are in your town school, right? Is that
Yeah,
true?
public school.
And so it wasn't a public school. And one of the reasons I did it is because I could not personally get my head around the craziness of all these activities. And so we chose a school where one of the core values was not doing that, at a, for the younger kids. And it was amazing. But then, and now I realize where some of those people were when I was at the beginning, because there was always people who, quote unquote, broke the rules. And everyone talked about, how their kids were actually in all this soccer and whatnot. But the truth was, is that they always almost had older siblings. And so at some point there's this like weird thing, which I'm hitting right now, where like I still have a little one who doesn't need to do anything, and an older one who's in that middle school age who's wanting to do more. So I totally get where they're coming from, but tell us a little bit about, for all those listeners who aren't in a system where everybody isn't doing everything. Like, how did you deal with that? Like, how did you stay strong through that in those times when, when free time was really a priority? Because I personally think that this is a huge, huge missing component from a lot of our kids' childhoods. is just this ability to entertain themselves and do things for themselves and, have that space to let in what eventually is going to become their big ideas.
And it is a challenge. And even in high school, it's a challenge. There's so much outside pressure on them to follow the rules. And the rules are you take the hardest classes you can possibly take, and you're involved in all these activities, and you're not going to get into college if you're not doing 9 million things. And for me, for my custom-built life, so this is my definition, and everybody gets their own definition. But for Dave and I, family time, quality time together, restful time to recharge is definitely part of our picture. So this quality of life for us is having moments to breathe and having time to be creative and all these things. When they were littler, so elementary school, it was fairly easy. Because I think, kids are less busy. There were the kids who were always busy, but my kids really always loved to be outside and playing, and they had some good neighborhood friends who were doing the same thing. So I don't think they were as aware of what some of the other kids were doing. So
That's lucky. Yep.
it was fairly easy for us to say, like, okay, we're going to do one thing, or you can do two things. And it was really when they got into middle school that I felt that pressure that the activities demanded more of them. And so it was really a balance between teaching them to keep their commitments. Like, if you commit to this, then you're required to do certain things. You need to
Yep.
keep your word and keep your commitments. But also, be like, sometimes we felt that a little much was expected to them. So sometimes we would say, okay, what is your priority thing? If it's dance, or if it's lacrosse, or if it's soccer, whatever. Okay, you're going to make it to every single practice. You're going to uphold all your commitments. You're going to be there for your team. You're going to go to the games. And like, that is part of, if you say yes to this is what you do.
Yep.
But maybe this thing, which you're doing for fun, you can miss a couple things, or it won't carry the weight. And when we, as they started asking to do more and more, for us, conversation is always the way to figure it out. And as parents, the challenge is to really hear your kids, and to trust that they know themselves. I think particularly younger kids, before they've started taking on all the rules, sometimes know themselves better.
Yes.
Because as parents, we hear all the rules, and it's hard to see through that. So really listening to our kids, and talking about, like, one of my big rules, and it's still to this day, we still talk about it, is if you choose, like, your free time, if you choose to fill that with activities, it's still your free time, or it's your social time, or it's, you may be at dance, or you may be at lacrosse, but that counts as your free time. So, you still have to fit your chores in at
Yes.
home, and when you're home, you have to be pleasant.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to be home only 2 hours, I'm not going to be dealing with a miserable child. I just have no patience for it. It's like you are blessed to do all these things when you're home. And I understand you may be exhausted, and you may be frustrated because you have a heavy workload, and all of these feelings. And definitely talk to us about that, and we'll, listen to you and let you vent, or we'll help you solve it if you're looking for solutions. But it's not going to be this where, for the 5 hours a week you're home, you're miserable and, beating up the rest of us.
I love that. Like that is just an amazing insight.
And if they can't manage it, like, if it's really so much that they're so overwhelmed and so stressed and so frustrated, then we say, let's look at what you're doing and reevaluate.
It's interesting, and it's so interesting you're sharing this because I actually just had to do this where this happened that we said yes to a sports activity to my son who doesn't usually like sports activities. And so I was feeling like it would be good if he moved, and he was feeling drawn to this thing. And it took over a little bit, and it was indoors. So he, but very much a part of our life is always, we have had it very unstructured. And I find that when my kids come home, they do best if what they do first is separate, because there's three of them, and go outside. And I find that my older son, he like wanders down the block, and like my daughter has this little nook in the yard that she always goes and plays with a doll in. And it you can just see that even if it's just 15 minutes, it's just like this decompression after school. And then when they come back in, they're just like a better person. Mm-hmm. And this had this thing for my son, this ability to like walk down the street and breathe fresh air, had just gotten taken away from him by this commitment he made. And it was that same thing. And I was thinking, and it, that just made it so clear when you said that, because it is free time. You know, we can choose what we want to do. And sometimes being outside feels better.
That's it. And the point is, for me, the point of the activities, they're learning a lot of things, but it's time with their friends. That's it. If it's a sport, it's time to move and be active. But if it's making you miserable, you know, that's what I teach my clients. Like, if it's making you miserable, make a different choice.
Yeah. Because it's all a choice. I think that's so important.
It is. It's all a choice. And, you know, sometimes things look good and we say yes to them and we get into them and they're not really what we thought they would be. And so we have to, you know, reevaluate and make a different choice. One of the clearest times in my life that I remember, another time that we kind of broke the rules, is Dave was up for a 2-level promotion at work, and he came home and he was talking about it and it would be a great opportunity and it would be more money. And, you know, at the time, because I will, you know, wasn't working, it was like, oh, that was, you know, something that was really looked good to us. And, but as he's talking about it, you know, he's like, it's going to be more travel and it's going to be more responsibility. And I really have the possibility of hating this job. That's what he said to me. I have the possibility of hating it. And I just looked at him and I said, then why are you even considering it?
Right.
Like, why would you do that? Because if you're spending 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week, it's something you hate. And you're traveling more, which is taking you away from us. And then when you're coming home, you're going to be exhausted and stressed and frustrated. So we're not going to have good interactions as a family. I don't really care how much you're making. It's not going to be worth it.
Yeah, totally.
And he did. He pulled his name out and he didn't go. And like the rule was, you're either moving up in the company or they're moving you out. You know, it was like kind of the belief we had. Or you can't say no to a promotion, or you can't turn down an opportunity.
Right. Because you're supposed to want to go up the ladder, right?
Like, right. But yeah. In my, you know, the center of my being, I just thought this is bad for our family. Like, yeah. It sounds good. And, you know, like, yeah, there's some, you know, we all want to be like, yes, and I'm getting promoted and it's great. But I'm like, but I just knew the reality of it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it all worked out. Like, he, you know, it worked out. He had other opportunities and, you know, our beliefs didn't prove to be true, but you have to have that courage to say, oh, I'm going to go against the rules that everybody else says, and really blaze your own trail.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting back to my original question. So, so we're going to share at the end how everybody can get your 16 strategies. Mm-hmm. But it really stood out to me, considering that you're really taking into consideration people's whole lives and their happiness, and that a lot of times you're talking about careers with people and how they balance into their life, that the first thing you started out with was to eat well. So tell us a little bit about that, because how you framed it was to figure out how to spend time and money to eat well. So yes. I'm intrigued kind of by both those parts. So I would love you to elaborate, and I feel like you have a lot of insight about the money piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love you to sort of elaborate on that as well.
Yeah. So, you know, eating well, you know, it makes you feel good. And if you feel good and you're healthy, so everything else comes easier. So that's kind of why it's first, we feel, is it's such a cornerstone of everything else in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't always eat well. In fact, I had the pretty standard American diet. When the girls came along, I remember they were toddlers, you know, and we were tired parents. And, you know, it was convenient. Dave stopped on the way home and got fast food for dinner. And I remember very clearly this night, you know, when they had their kids' meal, whatever it was, a burger or chicken nuggets or whatever, and fries and like a milkshake. And they said, you know, oh, they weren't eating like the meal part, you know, they said they weren't hungry or whatever. They never really liked fast food. We just like the convenience. And You know, I remember saying to them, they just wanted the dessert, the milkshake or whatever. And I said, no, you know, you need to eat your meal. You need to eat more of this stuff to get that.
Yep.
And it was like in that moment, the absurdity was highlighted.
Yes.
And I said, wait a minute, am I really telling my children they need to eat junk food to get more junk food? Like,
Yes.
okay, why I hadn't kind of struck me before, but in that moment, I was like, they don't like this food. And I'm telling them they need to eat more junk to get more junk. And I'm also teaching them to like it. And like the responsibility of being a parent is, you know, I realized in that moment they didn't have a choice. You know, they had to eat what I put in front of them.
Yep.
And I thought, and this is something they don't like anyway, and I don't really want them to like. So that was definitely one of the turning points in our eating healthy, was that I just realized the absurdity of that moment. I said, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. Like, it's convenient. It didn't take much time, but the cost of it was high.
Yes.
And so, you know, slowly we improved our diet. And I realized that, you know, kids, they don't always do what we tell them, but they often do what we do. So if I was drinking soda, they were going to want to drink soda, of course. If I was eating junk food, they would learn to want to eat junk food. So that was really, for me, the kids were a big impetus behind eating healthy. And then I also like had some things that I wasn't feeling well myself. And as I improved my diet, you know, we found like, hey, we have a lot more energy and we feel a lot better. But the trade-off is we eat a lot of organic food now. We do a lot of pastured meats. You know, we shop at the farm market and it's not inexpensive. But you know, you have to balance what's important. You know, we believe for our custom-built life that that health piece is the cornerstone, that everything kind of comes from that. If we're feeling well and we're healthy, we're going to have a longer life, things are going to be easier. So we're willing to invest in the food. We feel we get the money back by not, you know, we're rarely sick, so we don't have lost time. We're rarely at the doctor, so we don't have doctor's bills or medication bills or all of these things. But it can be hard to hand over, you know, like, okay, this organic thing is twice as expensive as the conventional.
Yep.
To do that, particularly at the beginning when you don't haven't experienced the results yet.
Yes. And it's interesting because I think a lot of it is just a mind, like no, get the more information you get around the food and sort of a mindset shift and that holistic approach of like if you're eating well, you're saving these other bits of money. But then the food market's very confusing, right? Because they want us to buy that processed stuff. So regular fruits and vegetables and, you know, regular meat isn't necessarily priced for a profit. You know, it's not processed or priced for them to make a profit. And they want real the people are really wanting us to buy and the grocery stores are really wanting us to buy is the processed stuff in the middle because that has a much bigger like margin for them.
So
So
I
it's confusing.
avoid that because what I do is I, you know, the engineer in me comes out and I
Yep.
make my whole list. Well, now we have a store that you can order online and just go pick it up. So that's great because
Oh,
there's
I
no
love that.
temptation.
Yep.
But when I, before that store came along, I just made my list and I listed everything. These are the ingredients I need. And this is what I, you know, need for lunches and dinners. And I planned out all my meals. And I'm not a cook who can go on the fly. Like, I
Yep.
really have to plan.
Yes.
So I would plan at home and I'd have everything written out. And then I rarely took my children. A, because it was a nice time for me to have by myself, and B, because you know what happens when you take kids into the grocery store. Can I have this? Can I have that? If they're not with you, they're not asking. And I don't know, mine at least don't think to complain so much. Now they're
Yep.
used to it, but I mean in the beginning. So I just take my list and I just say, okay, I'm only shopping from my list. And normally I like to get in and out of the grocery store as quick as possible. So just
Yeah.
to really show you how crazy I am, I would put my list in the order it appeared in the grocery store. Like, I knew my grocery store so well. So like all the produce went first on the list. And then, you know, if I needed like condiments, that went second. And then, you know, like, so I did it in order. So I didn't
That's
even have
very organized.
to go up and down the aisles to be like, oh, where's the mustard? Like, okay,
Yeah.
this. I can get in and out of here 45 minutes.
And do
And
you
so
feel,
my
yeah, go
desire
ahead.
not to be in the grocery store, like, helped me stick to my list and avoid
Yes.
temptation.
Yes. And I love the strategy of knowing that the grocery store was better without kids.
Oh, yeah.
And just, I mean, I think that if you have kids who are having a hard time eating healthy, sometimes the grocery store can be a huge, a big tool to have them see new fruits and vegetables. But like, you have to be so present in that moment. So if you're someone who hates grocery shopping, you can't, you just can't pause, you can't be present in that moment. And knowing that limit, you know what I mean, is so important. Because the
And you
second you're
know,
not present, all of a sudden, like everything at their eyesight is like, I want that, I want that, I want that.
right. And my girls went through a phase where, as they were going to kids' homes and seeing what they ate, and they went through a phase where they felt a little deprived of, well, our friends have all these cookies and candies, and our friends have this and that. And, because when they're little, you're responsible, but as they grow, I believe they need to form their own rules, their own boundaries, their own impressions. So we, for a time, said, okay, you can add every week one thing to the grocery list, and it can be anything. And I mean, if it was like processed packaged cookies, I bought it, and I just didn't say anything, and I didn't talk about the ingredients. I just, okay, here are your cookies, or here's your candy, or here's whatever. And it was one item a week, and they actually took to, this one gets week one and that one gets week two, because they often shared whatever it was they got. And we did that, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 weeks, and then they would forget to put something on the list and I just wouldn't remind them. And like, we even had it written down on their chore list, like, add something to the grocery list, because I wouldn't ask them, what are you doing? But it's like, it was their responsibility. They knew where the list was, go write it down. So it ended up not being that important to him, but it gave them some sense of control over their diet. It let them choose. So I found it worked more than being rigid. Because if they would start, and then sometimes they'd be like, oh, I don't have anything to take to dessert for lunch. And I'm like, well, you can add something to the grocery list. So, that's your responsibility.
Totally. I love that. Well, then that gets them thinking about like the whole planning and that food doesn't just appear. You know, I feel like so
Yes.
often it's like, you know, where's that? And it's like, well, you know, I'm working in the day and coming to pick you up at school. And like, you know, when do you think that would have magically appeared?
Exactly.
So
That magic food fairy only shows up. Woohoo.
I love that they're involved in that. That's a great, great strategy. And then, but in general, they do like eating healthy. Correct.
They do. They do. And when they go, say, like, to visit their grandparents or something, or spend time with a friend, they may not eat as healthy. But I always stress, like, we eat healthy at home, and it's not about perfection. So if you're eating healthy at home and your friends want to go out and grab a meal, and it's not the best choices, you don't need to be perfect. It's an accumulation, and so that's okay. And it's funny because, now we're at a point where if they are spending a lot of time with people who don't eat as healthy as we typically do, once we're back home and, kind of on a regular routine, they're like, Mom, I missed your food. Like, I really missed your food. And so that's good, and I think it's good for them to experience where they are having other choices, because if they never eat the junk, they may not recognize how they feel, like, the difference between how they feel when they're eating it and when they're not eating it.
No, I totally agree. And I feel like that's especially as they're getting into college, like that's such a great thing to know for them.
Yes.
Because I think it's very possible to do that in a health, do college in a healthy way, but it's you have to make a attention, you know,
Yes.
because it's not easy. It's not the thing that's just served up to you is not healthy, but if you can put things together and know what your body needs, I think that that's amazing.
My one is concerned. She's like, what am I going to do in college? What am I going to eat? I'm like, well, you'll have a little fridge, and there's some healthy choices in the dining halls, and
There's salad
you'll leave
bars.
home sometimes and you'll figure it out. It'll be okay. But she's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, you won't starve, I promise.
All right, so we're getting to the end of our time. Do you have any strategy, like any easy tip for just that whole money piece. Like, so if somebody's really stressed about like how can I possibly work this in, do you have like one, I don't know, easy strategy for feeling okay about that and making the transition to maybe spending more on food and less on something else?
So I'm going to give you two. One is know where your money's going, because sometimes we're spending money, and when we look at where we're spending it, we realize like, oh, I'm spending money. Simple example, maybe I'm getting my coffee out every day and it's costing me $4 or $5. But if I make my coffee at home, maybe it only costs me 50 cents or a dollar. I enjoy it just as much, and then I'm saving that money and I can put it towards, say, organic food. The other thing, in the way that we frankly started, is we started with the Dirty Dozen of produce. You can find that, just Google Dirty Dozen. And so I said, okay, I'm going to buy these things organic because they're the ones that, the experts say have the most pesticides and whatever in it. And I just kept buying the other stuff regular. And then I just slowly added to, okay, now I'm going to buy this thing organic, and now I'm going to, buy pasture meats. And I just, I did it a little tiny step at a time. And I always think stepwise is easier than one sweeping change.
Yes, totally. Totally agree. And I think that that piece of, I feel like money is can feel chaotic to many of us, and then and so does food. And so those two things together, like it's one of those things I don't know that we always grasp, where the money is going on food, like how it's really getting spent, even if we have a budget, like we're spending this much a month on food.
And I mean, honestly, if a family of four goes out to eat dinner, if you eliminate like one meal out a month, that's going to be probably enough money to cover like buying the Dirty Dozen as organic or something like that. And but you have to know your vision, if it's important to you, if it's a priority for you, there's a way to make it happen. But you have to know what you want. You have to make the decision to be responsible for it. And then you live deliberately. You know that every decision you're making is either taking you towards that vision or away from that vision.
Yes. I love that. So Stacy has an amazing tool for starting to create your vision, right? Your 16 strategies. So will you tell everyone how to get that? And then I'm going to ask you the final question that I ask everybody.
Sure. So if you go to my website, which is custombuiltlife.com, on every page there is a little box you can put your name and email in, and that will get you an instant download. You'll be able to instantly download the ebook to get started. I have another small ebook that I'm really excited about. Getting it set up on the site now, but it's 50 rules to break to live your custom built life. And so it talks about a lot of these kind of beliefs or rules that we follow. That maybe what I love about it is I always like examples. So it's 50 examples that you can look for. So if you download the ebook, The 16 Strategies, you'll be able, when this becomes available, you'll be able to download it as well.
I love that, and I have to tell you, I too am a rule abider. So I love that. I don't know that everybody's a rule abider, but I totally relate to that because that was my thing. I was the oldest, but somehow I followed a lot of rules and sort of feel like I paved the way for my younger siblings to not follow so many rules. But anyway.
Normally, I find that the oldest is the rebel, and the younger ones, are trying to like make peace for the family. But you did it in
No, my
reverse.
brothers were definitely the rebels, and I
Oh,
was
maybe it was a girl rule.
scared. Yeah. I was scared to death to break the rules, but when I do break the rules, I find those are when my biggest breakthroughs are. So I know
Yes.
there's power in it. It's just sometimes scary.
I give you permission to break the rules in the name of having your custom-built life.
All right, sounds perfect. So the question that I ask everybody is just to tell us a quick story about a meal that really made an impression on you, whether it was about the food or the conversation. Or some aha that you had during it, but just a special meal in your life that made an impact.
Oh, wow. I love to eat, so there's
I
so many meals that
know, pick one.
make the impact. For me, it's really the story I told about the girls having that that fast food meal. Like that was the big aha for me, was that, okay, I'm responsible for introducing them to food and you know, teaching them about food, and I'm forcing something on them that they don't like. And it's not like I'm forcing spinach. I'm forcing, you know, something that's not good for them. And so that was really, I think, my light bulb moment in terms of food was, you know, as a parent, where my responsibility was, and you know, what were my priorities.
And I love that because that just shows us that sometimes it's us the parents who either because we're in a hurry or because we, so a lot of times I feel like I know myself I struggle with this, like I think I'm I think that they want me to give them something that's not good for them. You know what I mean? Like that's how I would gain their approval somehow. And I think that's a constant thing that we always that's always part of this journey. So I love that you shared that and that kids don't necessarily want that, you know? That's
No,
not
I think we
that's
teach them to want it. You know, all the commercials on TV and all of, you know, the fun toys that come in these packaged meals and all, you know, we teach them that, oh, this is a treat. This is something. But I mean, I was just lucky. Mine came out, you know. And they didn't like that. And so I just really had that insight of I am teaching them to like something that is bad for their body. Like, why would I choose that? Yes, it was super convenient for me. And it was a point in my life where, you know, I was didn't have a lot of extra energy that for cooking, but I was like, you know, I could make them like a whole grain pasta and a jar of organic pasta sauce, and it's really not that much harder. And so that was really the big, kind of the first big insight for me was like, you know, the smack up the hip. What am I doing?
I love that. Well, that's a perfect ending. So, thank you so much, Stacy, for being here. And I hope everyone, there was just so many nuggets in there. And as well, this ebook, you guys have to go get it because it's very actionable, which I love.
Well,
So,
thank you for
thanks.
having me. This has been fabulous. I've so enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, good.
And, you know, I always appreciate the information you're putting out for healthy meals and recipes and things, because even at this point in my journey, I'm always looking for more information and more ideas. Keep it variety and, you know, excitement in our food so that we continue to love eating healthy.
Good. Well, thank you. And thank you for being here. And so, all you busy mamas, I will see you on the next episode. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.